Peace and blessings. Welcome to another episode of Boss Hijabipreneur. Women often appear to suffer from the misconception that to be successful in business or accepted in society, they have to diminish or denounce their faith or beliefs. As a business coach, I have encountered women cross-culturally who face internal conflict regarding their religious identity, maintaining their family roles, and being their most authentic selves. I developed this podcast to help guide them back to reclaiming their faith, better define their roles as women, so they can own their identity, live their absolute best life, and be a powerhouse in business. Let's tune in to today's episode, Already in Progress. Welcome back to another episode of the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast, where our goal is to provide business, spiritual, and empowerment tools and resources to help aspiring professional Muslim women and female thought leaders to realize their full potential without the need to diminish who they are or who they show up as in the world. We have already jump-started our goals here on the podcast for 2020. Who else is excited about 2020? I see posts everywhere like Vision 2020, 2020 Vision. I think we're all excited. And I think one of the things that we need to remember is that not only is this going to be a new year, but this is actually the start of a new decade. And I think it really hit me about a month ago that this is a new decade, like we're starting a new decade. And I saw like a meme, like a post the other day, and the person was like, what you're reaping right now in 2019, you had to have started back in 2009. I think that hit me. It was like a gut punch. So I think I'm going to say this, the same thing about this year. So right now we are in November 2019. 10 years from now, it'll be November 2029. What is that going to look like on November 1st or whatever the date is, 2029? What is it going to look like? What are you going to have accomplished? So I think that that's one of the things that I really thought about in thinking about what BUNHD, my company, was going to do in 2020 and what the intensity was going to look like. And I feel like the intensity needs to be even greater than it's been in the last 3 years since BUNHD started. And in 2020, we'll be focusing on three key areas: faith, family, and finances. And so on today's episode, we will be talking about how to avoid the new millionaire syndrome. And I felt like this was a really, really important topic to talk about, because what happens is I think that we've developed imposter syndrome, so we know exactly what that is. But I think with new millionaire syndrome, we are going to see a lot of this. And basically what that means is that more people have the potential to be millionaires going forward, because, you know, we just have more people going into business nowadays. They're working their 9-to-5s, but they also have a side hustle. And some of these side hustles are making 6 and 7 figures. So I think that we're going to see more of that in 2020 and beyond. And we've got quite a few things that are happening for Muslims in, you know, going into the upcoming years. So quite a few things in the next 10 years that are going to happen for Muslims that are going to work in our favor, and we have to be prepared for it. So, you know, just really wanted to talk about how to avoid new millionaire syndrome, making sure that you're prepared and making sure that you're ready, making sure that you have all of the tools and resources. And I think that this episode, if you want to watch a precursor to this episode, you can watch episode 32, and it's reconciling faith with your wallet and just talking about having that conversation that as a Muslim, that it's not a bad thing to make money. So I want to dive right into this episode, and I'm going to give you a few facts here because I thought it was very interesting in reading up on the different companies and just looking at different articles. So our goal in the upcoming months is we are going to be talking to a lot of people that work for these Muslim companies. And of course, we're going to focus on women if we can. So in some cases, some of the companies don't have a female representative. So we'll be talking to the companies, because I think that it's important for us as listeners, you as the listener, to have this information, and me included. All of this information that I put out here is information that I found value, that I find valuable myself, and so I share it with all of you. So one of the things that I'll share with you guys is that there are currently 14 million millionaires and counting in the world. And the number is growing by 2.3 million new millionaires every year. So I don't know about you, but I could definitely use a cool million or two. So if you're like me, I'm working diligently to take my piece of the pie too, because I want to be able to do more good in the world. And I'm going to go into that a little bit further. And so I say that to say that the likelihood of you being a millionaire in your lifetime has just increased by this particular statistics that I found. So there are conversations that we need to take seriously. And so I think that we need to start having these conversations about around money, and that it's okay to be a person of faith, a woman of faith, a Muslim, and, you know, the money can still be in the same sentence as your name. So Halima being a millionaire is not necessarily a bad word. You know, Muhammad being a millionaire is not a bad word. Amina being a millionaire is not a bad word. And having a $1 million company or a $1 million brand are not bad words. I think that we need to start having conversations like that. And then how do we keep our faith, keep, you know, uphold our Islam, and also be these amazing people in the world? And again, it just speaks to everything that we do here on the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. So there are almost 250,000 Muslims in the world that are millionaires as well. You know, just really want to talk about that. So, you know, there are 250,000. Muslims make up 250,000 of the population of the world. That total is 1.6 billion Muslims and counting. And we also make up 16% of the global GDP with a 6% annual growth rate. I thought that that statistic was very important, because what it means is that not only are we producing a lot of money, but we're also spending a lot of money. We're putting money back, you know, into the marketplace, right? So back into the mix, right? And this was really cool, and it's really cool, but also really scary. And it said by 2020, and I'm going to say that again, by 2020, the Islamic finance industry is projected to reach $3 trillion in total assets with 1 billion users. So again, a very large portion, it's almost 70% of Muslims are participating in, in the Islamic finance industry. So 1 billion users of the Islamic financial industry. I think that that's something that's very important to note. So of the 1.6 billion Muslims that are here, 1 billion of us are contributing to that number. So Islamic finance offers opportunities for redistributing wealth and reducing poverty. So one of the things that I found interesting, and I think that we really need to take a look at, and so that we don't, you know, end up, you know, taking a back seat to companies that are not Islamic companies, that are not, you know, run by Muslims, that they begin to take over the halal or the Islamic finance industry. I think we really, really, really need to pay attention to that. And of course, I put everything in layman's terms, right? So I'm not going, you know, high level or anything like that on anybody, right? But I think that we really need to understand that, you know, having a company that is for Muslims, run by Muslims, is paramount, because you do not lose the integrity. When we give, you know, some of that control and that power over to someone who doesn't share the same values and the same belief system as we do, we may start to, you know, it may start to get tainted, and we may start to live in like these gray areas. And I think that it's important for us to create precedent when we're talking about things that, you know, have been in the Muslim community for thousands of years, right? So what I really wanted to talk about in this episode is, you know, talking about women and them being millionaires, right? And just how can we prepare them just a little bit further? And so how have we prepared women to take advantage of how the halal industry will make a substantial impact in the next decade? So I started this episode talking about that. And the reason why this is particularly important is because nowadays, you know, it's no longer where, you know, the man is the breadwinner and we can afford to just have the man be the breadwinner. We now have to have both people contributing into the household. And sometimes the best way to do that is for, you know, either both the husband and wife to create a family business, and, you know, everyone in the family participates in it, or, you know, the male is out, you know, making, you know, at his corporate job, and then the woman has created some type of side business or created a business that the family can, you know, function off of. But what's important is that we need to be talking about how we're investing in these female-owned businesses. How are we investing in the women that have these amazing ideas? And one of the questions that I posed is, and it just posed to many people, is that it happened for me and many of the women that I speak to. Why do women startups still have to bootstrap their businesses? And this is not specific to Muslim women. This is actually women in general. Most women bootstrap their businesses. So they don't get the capital. They don't get, the money. They can't go to a venture capitalist and get that money, right? There is a platform. It's called iFundWomen. And basically, it's a crowdfunding platform specifically for women-owned businesses or women-owned startups, right? And I think that is extremely, important because, it's very intimidating to want to start a business and not necessarily have the capital, but, have an amazing idea at the right time. And you kind of have to put that dream or you have to put that idea to the wayside because you can't afford to start the business or you're using all of your money to invest in this startup. I'm one of those people, I took, what money I had in my savings and I ran my startup for the first 2 years off of my own money. So I am a bootstrapper to the umpteenth power, right? So, we're dealing with a situation where, we just don't have the right information. A lot of the women that are looking to start don't have the right information. Some women don't even have a bank account, let alone can go out and look for capital to fund their startup. So I think that we lack the knowledge on how to get funding for our startup. So that's an area of opportunity. We need to, get more information and become more learned in these specific areas, and I'll even take it a step further, and say that many of the women that I meet, they need help creating a business plan. They need help choosing the right business structure. Are they a nonprofit? Are they an LLC? Or should I make it an Inc? How should I incorporate? Like, how does all of this work, right? Do I pay taxes? I mean, these are literally questions that I get, like, okay, well, I just started my business and I've only sold XYZ amount of things. Do I have to pay taxes? Questions that are basic in nature, but you don't know what you don't know, right? And so for a person that's just starting out, they know that they have an idea. They know that, they've got the drive, they've got all of that, but they don't necessarily have the know-how, what's going to happen to those type of businesses. So there is no doubt that we need to spend more time on business education and development and ultimately financial support for our female segment of the population. Their success has a multiplier effect on the community as a whole. They are responsible for, women make up half of the population. They're responsible for the other half. You know what I mean? Like, they're responsible for raising the other half. Like, I remember reading that one time, and that is just so, so, so profound to think about, that, women, not only are they responsible for themselves, but they're responsible for the children that they bear, and they are also responsible for their spouses. So the more educated that a woman is, whether it's in, spiritual knowledge, whether, it's in financial knowledge, whether it's in, education, right, is the better off that the next generation will be, the better off her family as a whole will be. So I think that it's very important for us to invest in that, in the female segment of our population. I know a lot of people, what they say is, oh, so many empowerment programs, so many topics, so many everything for women. But the reason why that is so is because women need more. It's just the way that we operate. We like to over-educate ourselves before we even apply for a job. If we're missing one of the criteria, I remember reading this, if we're missing one of the criteria, in the requirements for a job, we don't apply. So that just goes to show to our mindset and our mentality. And so some of it, we're responsible for, and we have to change our mindset a little bit and just, take the risk, take the chance a little bit more. But then the other is that, the members of the community that have done it, that have been able to, they've made it to the other side. They've reached a millionaire status. They've reached, having success in business. It is up to them and up to us, people like me, to be able to create programs and come together and create programs to help the other side of society. It's important for the longevity and just for the sustainability of, Islam as a whole. We need to be producing our own stuff. We need to be creators of our own stuff. So I think that this topic is one that we'll continue to revisit, and just in different ways, we'll come at it from different angles, but it's definitely an important topic to talk about. And just really wanting to create tools that are made specifically for women of faith. So I am big on conferences, I am big on podcasts, I am big on reading books, etc. And I think that there's not a lot of information on Islamic finance. There's not a lot of information on the halal industry, and I think that that's something that we need to start thinking about. And if not start, we need to full speed ahead. We need to start creating it. A little bit earlier in the year, I sat at AMCC, which is the American Muslim Consumer Consortium, and I sat in a room with about 77 of us from across different industries, and that was some of the things that we talked about. We talked about education, being key, and we talked about the different areas in the halal industry, like, how do we how do we come together, and how do we, expand upon these different ideas, and how do we elevate, our presence in these particular areas? So, we just need our own resources, and our own resources will ensure that we operate our businesses with integrity, and that we operate in accordance with Islamic financing principles that forbid interest and promote risk sharing. And so, that's one of the things that's the foundation. That's one of the things that, we have as the foundation, in Islam. A lot of people come to us and, hey, do you want to join this finance program? And a lot of times we have to read the really fine print, because if there's anything that's, talking about usury, or, we're diving into usury, like, it's like, ah, no, I can't do this, right? So yeah, I just really want us to really start to think about these things, and, just really thinking about them in our business. Like, how are we using our business? And our business, should not just be this selfish thing. It should not just be this thing that only benefits us or benefits our family. It should benefit the community as a whole. As Muslims, we just have a responsibility to one another, and I believe in that wholeheartedly. This episode is brought to you by the Boss Hijabi Planner. You can grab your 2020 planner in the BUNHD store at www.BUNHD.com. The Boss Hijabi Planner was created with the productive Muslim woman in mind, ensuring that she stays super productive while keeping up with the things that are most important to her. We have a section to input prayer times on the daily calendar. Our calendar is a 12-month undated calendar, so you can start using the planner anytime. What's included in the planner? 2 pages of tips for all 4 quarters, 90-day flawless execution plan, 2-page vision board, space to input 5 daily prayer schedule, gratitude tracker, goal tracker, bucket list, achievement tracker, monthly tabs, note section, and so much more. Here are a few of the bonuses that you also get when you purchase the planner. The bonuses are free shipping anywhere in the United States, free live virtual training that will happen on December 28th, 2019, that will teach you how to use the planner and how to get the most out of your planner. And we also have a free quarterly planning call for the first 100 buyers that will happen the first Thursday of every single quarter. So what I say is, you owe it to yourself to invest in a planner made just for you, a productive woman of faith. What I'm definitely excited about with this talk track is that, you know, with the right foundation, whether a woman bootstraps her business or whether she is able to, get the capital for her startup. I believe that, you know, when she gets the formula right for her business and she's running on all cylinders and her business is profitable and she makes her first $1 million, right? A lot of them, you know, of course, we're excited for them and it's amazing, right? But we don't want these women to create companies where they're $1 million businesses, but they're still living in poverty. They're still unable to, they're still living from, the next PayPal. Invoice to the next PayPal invoice, right? We want to create businesses that are profitable, right? So she makes her first $1 million. What are some of the things that she's going to face? What are some of the questions that she has, right? So it's like, now that I have made my million, now what? How do I spend it? You know, am I reinvesting it back into the business? Am I starting a franchise? Like, what, you know, depending on the business, you know, the questions could go so many different directions. But, you know, overall, you know, just that umbrella, how does she spend her money? How does she sustain and grow her business, right? So how does she keep what she has while also reaching for more, right? And then with, I think, you know, with these questions, without the proper education, she can still live in poverty, like I just said a little bit earlier, despite having this multi-million-dollar business, right? So she wants to make sure that she's sustaining it and she's growing it, right? One of the other things that I think is something that as Muslims and, you know, just as women of faith, right, when we have our businesses is, and it's one of the things that I think about all the time in my business, is that every dollar that is made, what is the percentage of every dollar that I make in business that I'm giving back, right? So that I'm giving, you know, zakat, right? That, you know, I'm giving some type of charity, I'm supporting some type of cause in my community or whatever the case may be, right? Giving zakat. So approximately 200, from the halal industry, from the Muslim community, $200 billion is given in zakat every single year. And one of the things that I've read and I found is that the money is not being used to its fullest potential. So what type of programs would we be able to invest in with the zakat that we are giving? This is going to come from the people that are in business. Hey, these are the types of causes that I'm willing to support. So you're basically telling a lot of these organizations that take, you know, your money as zakat, you're telling them where you want them to spend it. So the more learned you are as a business owner, the more you can dictate where your money goes, right? And the more that you can positively impact the world in which we live. Are we giving money, you know, to orphans? Are we giving money to research for cancer? You know, where is our money going? How is our money being spent? But the more savvy you are as a business owner, the more savvy you can be in making the decisions on the other side and talking to your legislation. And, you know, so much is involved in this. I literally could spend 3 hours on this particular topic because we can go in so many different directions. But the direction that I wanted to go in is talking about knowledge and how do we not develop this new, this new millionaire syndrome where, you know, we're just spending. And we're not necessarily, we don't have the right intention behind it. You know, not saying that we're bad people, but, you know, it's willy-nilly. We don't know exactly, you know, where our money is going, how we're spending it, what is the return on investment, all that good kind of stuff. So we need more Islamic financial literacy focusing in this area so we can do more good, not only in the Muslim community, but in the world. And, you know, as Muslims, we know that this is something that is paramount to our faith, that we are supposed to positively impact wherever it is that we live in the world, right? Giving zakat is, you know, one of those areas that I think that we need to make more informed decisions, where we're spending our money. I recently went to a masjid. And there was an organization that came and was just, talking about, you know, the things that they do, for the community. And one of the ladies said, you know, I really want to understand, you know, where my money is going. So I give this money. So who in particular is it helping? What is being done with my money? And I thought that that was very coming from a woman, number one, and the presenter was a male, but coming from a woman, one, like she wanted to be informed. She wanted to know, you know, how is my money being used? And she has every right to to ask that question. I just thought that it was so profound that it was a woman that asked that question. It was really cool. The other thing is, you know, that I'm talking and that I'm suggesting with this talk track, right, is how can we empower, you know, female business owners to teach others how to make money? You know, I think that it's important. You know, I think we've a lot of us walk around with this non-abundant mindset. So with this mindset of lack. And I said earlier that, you know, the halal industry, the Islamic finance industry, it's, you know, it's in the, you know, the trillions of dollars at this point, the billions and trillions of dollars at this point, right? And so this idea of lack, this idea, we have to take it out of our head that if I have a business that caters to just Muslims, that I'm not going to make any money. That is the furthest thing from the truth. There are 1.6 billion Muslims and counting. You can find, if you find 100,000 people to invest in your business or to buy products from your business, you've made it. You're a $1 million business, right? So this idea that there's not enough to go around, we need to take that out of our head right now. And that's part of some of the part of the reason why a lot of women or businesses, you know, don't teach to other people, because they're trying to keep it all for themselves. But I want you to kind of think of things this way. The more that you give out, the more that you will get back in return. So not only will you get the barakah, the blessings for what you do, and you may get it in this life or you may get it in the next. We don't know where you're going to get it at, right? But, you know, the cool thing is that you will get something back in return. So if you do things with a good intention, you teach with the intention of helping as many people as you can to have the same success that you have. You know, you can't take from me and I can't take from you. What is written for you, I can never have. And what is written for me, you will never be able to have. So the two of you could be selling the same product and you will never take anything that doesn't belong to you, right? And I think that we need, you know, I know that a lot of us use, when we're talking about business, we use Khadija radiallahu anha as the example. But she and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the best of examples. Their story can be used in so many different ways. But when we look at it from a business standpoint, she was the first one of the perfect examples, you know, of asking these questions. Where can we find examples of money in Islam? Khadija radiallahu anha. Why should women want to get their hands on as much money as they can? And I think that, you know, Muslims' money, sometimes our name and money, so Halima and money, you know, it's like, I want to be a good Muslim, so I shouldn't talk about money. You can be a great Muslim and talk about money. So, you know, and have conversations around money. And the perfect example is Khadija radiallahu anha. Literally, her business funded the mission of spreading Islam, right? And so, you know, I always liken it to, she would probably be a billionaire or at least a millionaire in, you know, in the high millions, right? If she were alive at this time. And she used her money for the spreading of Islam, for the spreading of goodness in the world, right? And you'll hear me say this a lot. You know, this came from one of my really good friends, and she told me, you know, when I was starting my business, that, you know, I would always say, you know, I have to give a portion back. I have to give a portion back. And she would always say to me, you can't be a good giver broke, right? So I would, you know, if I took in, you know, $2,000, I wanted to give $2,000 back. And she always said to me, you can't be a good giver broke. So you need to take a portion of that money, reinvest it in your business, because if you reinvest it in your business, then you'll have more to be able to give away later. I'm reminded of this story, and this I found out recently. Aisha radiallahu anha, if I'm not mistaken, she would save, you know, pieces of food. So her and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was starving. You know, they were fasting on many days. They were starving. But she would still save food, and when she felt like she had enough, then she would go and she would, you know, give it out. So she was saving this food, and it's the same thing. So in the beginning of our business, we may not be able to give the money that we want to give, you know, in zakat or give in, you know, just in charity in the beginning. But just think about, you know, keep a tab if you want to, you know, write down, hey, this is how much money I made. If I were, you know, if I were able to give the money, this is the percentage of the money that I would give in charity, and start to keep a log. And then when your business is in a financial situation, to be able to positively impact change, right, in a profound way, then you go back to, you know, that notebook or what have you, and you tally all of that up, and then you go and you give it to whatever cause or causes that you want to give it to, right? And, you know, so, you know, just asking yourself, you know, what type of causes you support, what type of impact you want to make, and what type of impact you would make if you had additional income at your disposal to forward whatever that cause is, right? And who would benefit from it? I think that we need to constantly keep asking ourselves those questions, like who benefits? And if, you know, it's 70% you benefit and only 30% someone else benefits, you know, you need to work on, you know, just looking at more, you know, balance. But, you know, just leading back to, you know, just the topic, you know, that new millionaire syndrome is like, you know, making sure that, you know, you are, you know, that you are spending wisely in your business, that you are, you know, paying yourself, that you are saving to invest, right? And just making sure that you're keeping that at the forefront so that you don't become one of these new millionaires. It's like somebody that, you know, we don't gamble, but, you know, someone who hits the lottery, right? Perfect example of new millionaire syndrome. They have all of this money and they don't know what to do with it. And instead of, you know, investing it, instead of buying a property, instead of, you know, buying things that will multiply their money, they buy things that they can only use now. And then, you know, in a year's time, 2 years time, I think they said it's like 2 or 3 years, a person who wins the lottery goes completely bankrupt. So, you know, just, you know, making sure that we're keeping the focus, you know, what is the focus? What are our goals, you know, for our, you know, business, right? So in the upcoming weeks, we will be interviewing women across different industries and posing the questions that we've talked about at the top of the podcast, right? And what I want to make sure that we do here going, you know, late 2019, going into 2020, is I want to make sure that we are receiving tips, and we're just being more intentional. So we're receiving tips, resources, and best practices for success in business from every single one of our guests. I want you to be able to take a tip, a tool, or a resource from every single episode and be able to apply it immediately in your business. So please take the time to share this episode and tag your fave Muslim business that supports your business or lifestyle, right? So what I want you guys to do is you can either tag me in, you know, a post, you can go on IG, follow us on IG at BUNHD. So that's BEYOU. INHD. So make sure you go ahead and give our page on IG a follow. But, you know, what I would like for you to do is I would like for you to, one, leave some of your questions, and two, leave us some of the businesses or some of the people that are making positive strides in business. I would love to sit down and be able to talk to them. So, you know, the focuses that we're going to, you know, the areas that we're going to focus on are faith, family, and finance, but we're also going to focus on the halal industry and the different businesses that are encompassed in the halal industry. You know, I want to know where you shop. I want to know where you shop for clothes. I want to know where you shop for cosmetics. Do you have financial investments? And if so, what company do you use? Do you own a home? If so, did you use a Muslim finance company to be able to purchase your home, right? Where do you travel? Did you use a Muslim travel agency to be able to book that travel? We want to start to have these conversations so that we're making more informed decisions, and we're spending our money within our own community so that, you know, we are, you know, we start to, you know, fund more of the causes that we are passionate about, right? And, you know, all of these tools, tips, and resources are tips that we can use as productive women of faith in our personal and professional lives. So I want to thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Our inspirational quote of the week: Islam has made it a religious duty upon Muslims to seek knowledge. Seeking knowledge with the intention of benefiting oneself and the people is rewarded, like performing additional prayers or fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim, and that can be found in Ahmed. We can see this in the following verses in Surah Al-Alaq, Surah 96, verses 1 through 5. And it says, "Read in the name of your Lord who created you. He created man from a clot. Read, and your Lord is the most honorable, who taught by the pen, taught man what he knew not." And again, that's Quran, Surah Al-Alaq, Surah 96, verses 1 through 5. As always, I want to thank you for tuning in. Make sure to leave us a comment on this episode, and we may pick yours as the comment of the week and read it on our next episode. I'll talk to you soon. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.